הנה טובו מעניי, שבת אחים גם יחד. הנה מה טוב, הנה מה טוב, לילה 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 לילה.
Welcome to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin Solomon, Senior Rabbi of Congregation Beth Hillel in Roswell, Georgia. Beth Hillel is one of the largest Messianic Jewish synagogues in the world and provides a place where Jewish people can find the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus in Hebrew, and retain their Jewishness. It's also where Gentiles worship and embrace the roots of the faith in drawing closer to God. Click the link in the description to support this ministry or to view our YouTube channel. Let's join Rabbi Kevin now as he shares this word from Scripture.
It's interesting. I just, when you're a rabbi and you're working on messages and stuff, you have to kind of, you know, certain holiday seasons now and certainly in the fall, you kind of got to be a professional juggler in addition to being a rabbi. Why? Because you got a lot of messages going on at the same time. Just this afternoon, I finished my message for this coming Shabbat, which I'm looking forward to also. And in many ways, I didn't actually start out exactly to do it this way, but in many ways, the message for this coming Shabbat is connected to this. And I'll really kind of call it a part two of the message from today. So I'm glad you are here to get essentially part one. Let's start in Psalm chapter 37. Psalm 37, please. Psalm, or when I was a kid, I thought it was Psalm. Psalm chapter 37, and we're going to read something that Melech David wrote. And as a side note, we're counting the Omer. Why are we counting the Omer? You're going to find out. It's building. It's building. We've now had Passover. We're having Passover now, but it builds up to the holiday of, it starts with an S, Nachon, very good, Mishpacha, to Shavuot, which is on the 50th day. Very, very exciting. Good job. Okay, Psalm chapter 37, verse 25. King David says, I was young and now I am old. Yet I've never seen the righteous one forsaken, nor his children begging for bread. Woo, boy, amen. Man, that is an encouraging word right there. Friends, David was old at this point. He was an old man. But he saw how God was faithful over time, if we are faithful over time. You see that? And so what a great message for us to consider here during our Resurrection Day celebration. I want to tell you a little story, and I don't know, a few years ago. It's funny because you never know when you're doing your streams on YouTube. You never know which stream is going to kind of, the algorithm's going to suggest a lot or whatever, and it's going to get a lot of views. But actually, I did a teaching, and it does have to do with the message and the sermon, or how many times people, by the way, like the message, like the service, please. If you're watching online right now, like it. Yeah, give it a thumbs up. Click the thumbs up. Very good. Subscribe. But in any case, I gave a message a number of years ago that was one of the higher viewed messages, and it was biblical financial principles. And I, at first I was kind of perplexed by it. I thought, yeah, that's a little unusual. But then I thought, well, people want to know and learn about the finances and from a godly perspective. And in any case, it surprised me a little bit. It's like a Messianic Jewish rabbi. Well, maybe that makes sense. Okay, anyway, so when I received my MBA from Emory University, they taught me a lot about investing. Okay, now perhaps that makes a certain amount of sense. They taught me a lot about investing. Apparently, they want their graduates to be successful or something, right? Okay, and so, you know, I learned a lot about investing, and I want to teach you something that I learned from my MBA at Emory. They taught us a lot when it came to investing about something called the long game, the long game. And What this has to do is it has to do with compounding. I want to take a small example for you. And okay, if you're allergic to math, watch out. I'm going to give you just a little bit here, okay? Go ahead and take the shot. Okay, I can hear math now. But nonetheless, here's an example that is something interesting, because the long game has to do with compounding. This, I'm talking about investing money, okay? It's something called compounding. So here's an example. If you take the last 100 years and take 10-year averages, if you will, and taking a look over the last 100 years, the average stock market return has been about 10% per year before inflation. Okay, so that's been the average over the last 100 years. You know, and that takes into effect, you know, the Great Depression, you know, and it takes into effect of a lot of ups and downs over the years. But the average return on the overall stock market's approximately 10%. Some years are going to be way low, some are going to be higher. Average 10% return. Okay, so that's the average stock market return per year over the last 100 years. Okay, so just to give you, this is an interesting factoid that can help you understand something. If at age 40, starting at age 40, you begin investing $5,000 each year. So at age 40, you start investing $5,000 a year. 5,000 at age 40, 5,000 at age 41, 5,000, 42. Okay, you're investing 5,000 a year. Assuming it's at this 10% rate compounded, the average return of the stock market. By the time you get to age 65, you started at 40, 5,000 a year. By the time you get to age 65, the amount that you'll have is going to be around $491,000. That's an amazing number, really. That's unbelievable for just 25 years of investing, just 25 years of putting in that $5,000 a year, just 25 years of it, $5,000 a year. In 25 years, the total amount is $491,000. You've only put in $125,000, but you will have $491,000 in just 25 years of investing. Pretty remarkable. However, if you happen to start just a little earlier, if you start at age 25, just for the sake of discussion, if at age 25, you start investing $5,000 a year, same amount you're investing per year, $5,000, again, assuming 10% compounded, by the time you reach age 65, the amount that you will have is $2,212,000. Now, I want you to understand that the example I gave before was 25 years of putting in $5,000 a year. And this example is just 40. So it's just 15 years more of investing. It's only 15 years more of throwing in $5,000 a year. That's it, just 25 versus 40. However, the payout is massive. The difference in the amount invested between 25 years and 40 years, the amount that you're investing only changes by $75,000. You're only putting in $75,000 more in those 15 years. That's all you're doing is $75,000 more. But the difference in the amount that you have at age 65 is $1.7 million more than you would have, even though you've only invested $75,000 more. That's a mind-blowing numbers. Now, for the 32.6% of you that are looking at me with a blank stare because it's like, he's using numbers. Here's the point, y'all. Okay. It's a remarkable statistic. The point is, you have to play for the long game. You have to play for the long game. And you can't be distracted by short-term market fluctuations. It is just how it works. There's a type of investing called dollar cost averaging, where you're just putting the money in every certain amount of time without fail. Doesn't matter what the price is, high, low, you're just continue to invest. You can't be distracted by market fluctuations, but so many people are. So many people are distracted by market fluctuations. What happens? They see the market go down some. The market's going down some. Oh my gosh. What do? They freak out and they take out all their money from the market. This is what many people do when it comes to investing. Other people, perhaps in their maybe figure in their 30s, 40s, whatever, find other priorities and don't invest in those years. So they don't invest in those kind of mid-years. Why? Because they're focused on things that they're having to pay out money for. They're focused on maybe the new car. They're focused on the vacation. They're focused on the house, the down payment, or maybe even they're focused on costs associated with a family, raising a family. And understand, these things are well and good. There's no question. These things are important. But to understand investing, the key to investing is the long game. That's the key. You don't need a stock tip from your cousin Joey. Joey's like, hey. Psst, come here. You wanna buy an S? It's a Sesame Street reference. Only certain one of you got. Well, I got a great stock tip for you here. You want to invest in pork bellies. I'm Jewish. I can't. What are you talking about? Okay, whatever it is. No, it's not that special stock tip that gives those kind of incredible returns on your investment. This is only assuming the average rate of return of the stock market. In the numbers I gave you, only the average, the whole market average. The key is that you can't be distracted along the way, and you have to understand that you're in it for the long game. Now, I certainly don't mean to discourage any of you who are like, I'm 65 and I'm just starting now. I don't have a long game. That's not my point, y'all. Some of you were like, I'm depressed now. Thank you, Rabbi. By that calculation, I can save enough for a Starbucks coffee, and that's it. Listen, the money of this world is temporal, okay? This is not the most important thing. Anyway, I'm illustrating a point here. Rabbi Shaul was teaching the congregation in Corinth. And I want for us to examine some things that he was talking about, because there were some Jewish people in that congregation. However, the vast majority of people were from a non-Jewish pagan background in the city of Corinth there. And some in that congregation were holding on to this pagan belief that they would not be resurrected, that there was really no such thing as resurrection. And so there were some who were believing this. You know, much of the epistles, much of the letters that are written in the New Covenant were written in a gentle, or sometimes not so gentle, but in a corrective way, to correct errors that were going on in the early body of believers. Because it was new, and it was even more new to the non-Jewish people, because they had no even basis in the Torah. So it was all new to them. And so a lot of times Rabbi Shaul is correcting certain things, as he was doing here in 1 Corinthians 15. You can turn to 1 Corinthians 15. And this is not exclusively a pagan belief. There was belief even within Judaism, when certain parts of Judaism of the day, that there was not an actual resurrection. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection, okay? The Sadducee Judaism did not really much survive into modern day. The modern day Judaism we have today is a descendant of the Pharisaic Judaism, which Yeshua himself and Rabbi Shul was a little bit more in that flow. But the point is that there were people who did not believe in a bodily resurrection. And yet these people in the congregation in Corinth seemed to believe that Yeshua was resurrected from the dead. Okay, and so they believe that Yeshua was resurrected from the dead, but they didn't believe in the bodily their resurrection or resurrection as a concept. But so how was the squaring? Well, some were attributing the resurrection of Yeshua simply to the fact that, well, he was resurrected because he was the Son of God and as the Messiah. Okay, he was almost like an exception in some kind of a way. This was kind of what was going on with some of the dialogue, some of the thing that was happening that Rabbi Shul was addressing. Why are we talking about this today? And even if you don't typically turn to me, I would encourage you, 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to be there the whole rest of my message today. And it's interesting because I'm doing a resurrection message and I'm not going to touch on the Gospels. Why? Because 1 Corinthians 15 really talks about this in a great way and in such an important way. Why? Because to understand the resurrection is central to Messianic Judaism. It is central to being a believer. You have to not just believe in it, you have to understand it. And once you understand it, wow, it opens up a lot. It sure does. So there was this error here that Rabbi Shul needed to forcefully address with him, and he did so. So let's take it, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 12. We're going to read a lot of scripture today, and it says this. Okay, so Rabbi Shul is telling the congregation there, the Corinthian congregation. He says, now if Messiah is proclaimed that he has been raised from the dead, how can some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Messiah has been raised. Okay, so Paul is beginning to develop his point, which he will continue and build on here. That if you don't believe in resurrection, if you're philosophically that you really don't believe in resurrection, then you can't really believe in Yeshua and his resurrection. It's incongruent. It doesn't make sense. If you don't believe in resurrection, then why was Yeshua resurrected? That's kind of the premise that he's starting with. As a side note, it's not talked about a lot in modern-day Judaism, but if you look at Maimonides, if you look at the 13 principles of traditional Judaism, resurrection of the dead is one of them. It's part of it, even though it's really not almost ever discussed within the traditional Jewish ranks and my traditional Jewish brothers and sisters, but they still, and religiously and as a core, believe in it. Okay, let's continue. Verse 14, Rabbi Shul continues. He says, and if Messiah has not been raised, then our proclaiming is meaningless, and your faith also is meaningless. Moreover, we are found to be false witnesses of God, because we testified about God that he raised up Messiah, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead are not raised. Okay, so this is like he's almost like a lawyer in this letter, presenting an argument to the jury, which is the Corinthian congregation, and explaining to them, hold on, you're believing that there is no resurrection, but that doesn't make any sense if you believe that Messiah Yeshua has been raised. And he speaks in very strong terms about this. He's talking here things that are very, very not subtle. He says that if Messiah has not been raised, then we are false witnesses. In other words, we're a bunch of liars. If he's not been raised, remember, if you're saying there is no resurrection, then how could he be raised? And if he wasn't raised, then we're a bunch of liars. And it says, and our faith is meaningless. Meaningless. So in other words, Paul is telling us that the resurrection of Messiah is not a small matter. This is not some side little theology that it's like, well, you know, I guess you could believe it, you cannot believe it, you know. It's not one of those things that, well, there's some people believe in, you know, pre-trib, some people believe in post-trib, you know, I can argue it both ways. No. This is core foundation central to our faith is what he's saying here. This is not some parenthetical issue in scripture. No, it is of great importance. If if Messiah didn't perform certain miracles, if he hadn't, you know, raised up somebody who was lame, okay, if that story hadn't have been in the New Covenant, okay, and he had decided not to, okay, he could have, he didn't have to, this was not central to who we are, to our faith. Although, this is of great importance. The resurrection of Messiah is central. If he was not raised from the dead, then all of this is meaningless. That's a strong word, y'all. Meaningless. It's interesting because I think that we today, in our modern sensibilities and with our fancy clothes and you know, nice vehicles that we drive in with air conditioning, oftentimes we don't actually think about the truth and the actual fact of the resurrection, of Yeshua, of our potential resurrection. These are things that we just don't even really think about. And if you intellectually think about it, you know, was he literally raised from the dead? You know, it's like, well, yeah, I think so. But I just want to be a good person. That's what I'm focusing on. No. Paul's saying, no, I'm not offering that option to you. This is central stuff right here. If you don't believe in the resurrection, the rest is meaningless. It doesn't mean anything. The whole Old and New Covenant, everything of Yeshua, Moses, all that, it doesn't mean anything if you don't believe that he actually was resurrected from the dead. Continuing in verse 16, for if the dead are not raised, not even Messiah has been raised. And if Messiah has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Messiah have perished. If we have hoped in Messiah in this life alone, we are to be pitied more than all people. Wow, that's right, Barb. Man, that is intense. Rabbi Shaul is just absolutely going to town theologically on this topic. He is challenging them in the strongest of terms because some were a little wishy-washy apparently on this issue. Remember that Rabbi Shaul here is making a point about resurrection. He tells us that if Messiah was not raised from the dead, then our faith is futile. It's futile. Again, a very, very, very strong word. It's just absolutely worthless. It's of no effect. It's of no impact. You're still in your sins, and it's no good. If he wasn't raised from the dead, that's how important, that's how central the resurrection of Yeshua was and is to us and ought be. He tells us that we're still in our sins. In addition to all those who have died, they're all hopeless too. No, the resurrection is of great importance. He even says that if it is all for this life alone, we are to be pitied more than all other people. Wow. In other words, if this is all there is, then it's really sad for us. How pitiful that is. But I've heard some people say that over the years. I've heard some people say, well, yes, Rabbi Kevin, I think that Yeshua was a good person and some of the things that he said were very good. And he was maybe a prophet or at least a sage like Confucius or something, and he has a lot of good moral principles, and I try to live my life by those and turn the other cheek and do unto others and the golden rule, and these are very good things, and so I try. That's pointless. That's worthless. That's relative morality. That really doesn't mean anything. If we're just trying to live this stuff for just this life that we're in right now, he says, how pitiful. How interesting, isn't it? It's like, whoa, man. He's giving them words to this letter that are like, shh. But you know what I'm saying here? It's very interesting. No. See, friends, Messiah's resurrection is key because it teaches us that we have to play the long game. If you understand investing, then you can't become distracted by the short-term ups and downs. there's going to be a lot of ups and downs, certainly in investing. I told you the stock market goes roller coaster sometimes. Last week or two, it's been really down a lot. Today, it happened to be up a little bit. Okay. This year, it's been up like crazy. Wow. Then a few years ago, ooh, it was down bad. Okay. There's some similarities with life. Right? On the contrary, friends, you can't be swayed by the ups and downs. You have to stay the course if you want to be a successful investor. Similarly, when it comes to our spiritual lives, friends, we can't focus on the short term. We can't focus on the short term. Let's see here. Let me look at my phone. What's the market at today? Oh, let's see. The market is doing this. Oh, no, the market's down today. Oh, the market's up big today. Yay! A lot of people live their spiritual lives like that. You know, I'm doing really good. I got a raise. Yay! God is good. Oh, I got fired. Ooh, God is bad. No, friends, same God. We have to stay the course. And we know this because if we do, in our future is resurrection. Ooh. And how do we know this? Because Yeshua was resurrected. Verse 20, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. Check this out. But now Messiah has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Oh, okay. For since death came through a man, meaning Adam, the resurrection of the dead also has come through a man. For as in Adam all die, so also in Messiah will all be made alive. But each to its own in its own order. Messiah the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Messiah. Wow. Whoa, this chapter is, boy, isn't this like deep theology? He's just like, oh yeah, he's cranking it, man. It's good stuff right there. Good stuff, very, very deep. He's explaining a very deep concept here in 1 Corinthians 15. He's saying, hey, listen, because Adam partook of the fruit, right? We had eternal life before Adam. Adam partook of the fruit of the tree that he wasn't supposed to, right? The tree of knowledge of good and evil. And because he partook of that fruit, we lost eternal life. Death came into this world because that one dude partook of that fruit. We became mortal and would die. But with Messiah, we will be made alive. We will have eternal life. We will be resurrected, as it says. Through Adam, death came. Through Yeshua, resurrection from death came. But importantly, Paul tells us that Yeshua is not the only one. So he's also correcting this error that's in that body of believers that was like, well, Yeshua is kind of the exception. No. Rabbi Shaul teaches us that Yeshua is the first fruits of the resurrection. The first fruits of the resurrection. At his coming, we who belong to Messiah will also be resurrected. Very, very interesting. anybody who comes from a Jewish background also will really resonate and understand with the whole principle of first fruits. You could tell that Rabbi Shaul was Jewish and was a trained rabbi. And as much as he was speaking about first fruits, many believers believe that Yeshua was resurrected on the Jewish holiday of early first fruits. Some people, it depends upon how you look at the calendar on that one. But regardless, he is the first fruits of the resurrection. This is something that we understand in first fruits because we're giving our first fruits during Passover. We're giving our first fruits during a Shavuot coming up, right? You know about first fruits. We're giving the first fruits and Sukkot of the fruit and such. He is the first fruits of the resurrection. Now, this means that there is the crop of the resurrection that comes after the first fruits. So if you know anything about first fruits and Chag HaBikurim, which we have, which is Shavuot, but just as an example, is that we bring an offering of our first fruits. You know, we have the sweet offering and, we bring an offering of our first fruits. That is the first fruit of what? Of the crop, of the whole crop. There's a giant crop that's coming. And the very first fruits we give unto the Lord, are holy unto him. Well, similarly, Rabbi Shul is using a whole Jewish holiday principle to explain about what Yeshua and who Yeshua is here and his resurrection. He says Yeshua's resurrection is the first fruits of a giant crop that is coming of resurrection. Hello! And then, as if their minds aren't already, then he explains more what the resurrection will look like. Follow along, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35. Such an interesting chapter in the Bible. Wow. Verse 35, he says, but someone will say, how are the dead raised? And what kind of body do they come? Fool, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. As for what you sow, you are not sowing the body that will be, but a bare seed, maybe of wheat or something else. Wow. Very deep concept that makes sense if you understand it. Wow. So he explains that the body that will be resurrected at the time of the resurrection, of our resurrection, of your resurrection, should the Lord tarry and we go the way, the body that will be resurrected will not be mortal. It's not going to be a mortal body like the body we have. In a similar way, an acorn, think about an acorn. It has to symbolically die in its current form if it's going to become an oak tree. Think about that. An acorn is built to die, and then it becomes that which it's called to be in its fullness. And that's exactly the example that he's giving. You see, he says like a seed of wheat or something. Okay, well, I'm using an acorn. Right, an acorn doesn't look like a tree. Right, it looks like a nut with a yarmulke on it. Well, when you do the resurrection message, sadly, I can't correct it tomorrow because there is no service tomorrow morning. We only have one. Okay, an acorn does not look like a tree. Okay, it looks. But yet within it is something that in its fullness is going to be an amazing, beautiful, large tree, right? This oak tree, this thing that could support so much on it, you know, comes from this tiny little acorn. But when the acorn goes into the ground, it dies as an acorn and becomes eventually the roots and this amazing tree. This is how he is explaining it. This is how he explains what happens to us. Continue. Verse 42, 1 Corinthians 15, 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. Sown in corruption, raised in incorruption, sown in dishonor, raised in glory, sown in weakness, raised in power, sown a natural body, raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Ooh, man, that's deep, isn't it? That's both deep and mysterious and like almost science fiction, it sounds like. It's like so cool. But this is the real thing. Very, very deep. Rabbi Shaul is explaining for us the immortality of our heavenly bodies. So interesting. And with this, he rejoices. And he also points out how this makes the passages from the Tanakh make sense. So again, as this rabbi, was taught by Rabbi Gamliel, who's known in traditional Jewish circles even of today. He was so brilliant, Rabbi Shaul, and he looked back to the Tanakh and quoted some passages from the Tanakh, Hosea and a couple, and that talks about death, and he goes back and he explains them in light of what he talked about with what resurrection will bring. And then the scriptures from the Tanakh make more sense, and they're complete. What am I talking about? Let's take a look. Verse 54, 1 Corinthians 15:54. But when this corruptible, meaning the body that's dead, will have put on incorruptibility, that's resurrection, and this mortal will have put on immortality, resurrection, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? See, friends, if there is the resurrection, then death is defeated. It has no victory. This is why when I do a funeral for somebody who's a believer, it's not like the end. No, it's the end of a chapter and the beginning of the whole rest of the book. See, and that gives great joy. See, Rabbi Shaul is teaching this so that we'll have an understanding of it and so that we won't be afraid of it and that we can rejoice in it. So then knowing these things, knowing all of these things that he's taught us, which has been a boatload of stuff that I've tried to unpack a little bit here today, then with that knowledge, he then charges us. Verse 58, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dearly beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You see, here is his concluding teaching point. Because you know, you now understand that resurrection is true and that you one day will be resurrected. Now that you have this knowledge and what's going to happen and exactly how it works, now you got to focus on the long game. You got to focus, be steadfast, he says. Steadfast also means unwavering. Friends, when you invest $5,000 a year, you can't skip years if you want to get to the big number at the end. You have to be unwavering. It's hard to be steadfast. Why? Because you don't get to enjoy the fruit of that investment for many years. It doesn't become the big number till a long time down the road. Your flesh might want to use the money now. You might like to to take earthly, fleshly pleasures now. But Rabbi Shul is saying, don't do it. Be steadfast. Be focused. He says to be immovable is the word. Be immovable. One of the biggest issues that investors have is trying to time the market. You've heard this, right? They say, you know what? Buy low, sell high. Yeah, sure. That's easy to say. The greatest minds in the world have difficulty doing it, right? It often ends up they pull their investments out when the market is down, thinking, geez, the market is down. I should get out my money now. No. He's saying, no. Be immovable. You're going to have ups and downs in your walk as a believer. You are going to have ups and downs. You got to recognize that. You got to realize it. You're going to have ups and downs. There are going to be times when you're hurting beyond compare. And there are going to be other times when you're on top of a mountain. See, on both occasions, be immovable. On both occasions, be immovable. I can't be shaken. Why? I know the reward that awaits me. You see, it doesn't matter about the short-term market fluctuations. No, I know the reward that awaits me. It's the resurrection into eternity, just like Yeshua was resurrected. Then Paul tells us to always excel in the work of the Lord. In other words, watch the money compound if you keep going. Watch the money compound. It doesn't say to excel in the work of the Lord, maybe except when you're in the middle of your career or you're very busy or when you're occupied with four kids, then, you know, don't worry about the work of the Lord. You got a lot going on. No, it doesn't say that. It says always excel in the work of the Lord. Always underlined. Always excel in the work of the Lord. Finally, he tells us that if we do all of this, but that we will know, and we should do all this because we know that our investment is not in vain. All that you do for the Lord, all the sacrifices that you make for the Lord are not in vain. There is that eternal reward, and that should give you the confidence to stay the course because the payout is massive. Even much better than the millions that you could make if you invested in the market, which, by the way, nobody brought a U-Haul with them to the behind the hearse. I've done 70 funerals, never seen anybody bring it with them. So don't be discouraged if you're like, well, I'm 65, I haven't started investing yet. That is merely illustrative of a point right here. The point is we got to keep investing on what's really important and what's eternal, right? Because if you get this, you'll better be able to withstand the pressures of this world, not to veer to the left or to the right, not to give up. Because we know in the end, if we patiently wait, the investment will pay off. And resurrection is waiting for us. And why do we know that resurrection is waiting for us? Because we know that Yeshua was resurrected. Friends, this is the centrality of the resurrection. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And the title of my message is Long Game. Let's bow our heads. I want to ask if there's anybody here who's never said a prayer to receive Yeshua as your Messiah. If that's you and you've never said a prayer and received Messiah, but you want to today, wherever you're at, raise your hand. We'll have a simple prayer. If that's you and you've never given your life to God, but you'd like to, just wave your hand at me and we'll have a simple prayer. Is there anybody who'd like to do that but has not done so? Maybe you're watching online and you've never said that prayer to receive Yeshua as your Messiah, but you'd like to say that simple prayer. Then repeat this prayer after me and God will change you forever. And then resurrection is in your future. Say, dear God, I humble myself before you. I accept Yeshua into my heart as my Messiah. I believe he's risen again, sitting at your right hand. Please forgive me of my sins. I'm sorry that I've sinned against you, God. I'll serve you the rest of my days. Thank you, Lord, in Yeshua's name. If you said that prayer and for the first time and you're watching online, I want you to send us an email. We want to celebrate with you. If you're here in this room and you said that prayer for the first time, please see me after the service. I just want to celebrate with you. Lord, I want to thank you for your resurrection. I want to thank you for the fact that you, Lord, indeed were resurrected from the dead. Yeshua was resurrected from the dead. God, and because I can look at that resurrection, I know what's in store for my future because he was the first fruits and I'm the latter fruit. And so, God, I'm excited about that. And that makes what I do a little more doable. It makes it a little more manageable, knowing that regardless of the fluctuations of my spiritual state or of the market, I know what the investment's going to return. It's going to return eternity. Dainu. Thank you, Lord God, for this. We love you with all of our hearts. We bless you for this special resurrection service as it gives us great hope. We ask these things, B'Shem Yeshua, in the name of our Messiah Yeshua, we pray. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin. Please like, subscribe, and share this link with a friend. We would be grateful to receive your tax-deductible gift to further the good news of Messiah Yeshua. To make a contribution, please click on the PayPal link in the description. Also, to view our regular services, click the link in the description for our YouTube channel. If you would like more information about Yeshua the Messiah, or how you can become part of our Beth Hillel family, please visit our website at www.bethhillel.org. That's BETHHALLEL.org. Or call 770-641-3000. If you are in the Metro Atlanta area, please visit us for an Arab Shabbat service, Friday nights at 8 o'clock, or Shabbat services, Saturday mornings at 11. God bless and shalom.